Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is November 6th, Election Day, and you are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett. I'm your announcer, and I will turn it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. How are you doing
today? I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Today is a special day. Today is Election Day 2018 for our midterm elections. So everybody's kind of tied up with that, but I'm not sure where we're going to go with that tonight. I think we're going to go a little bit of a different direction. Again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker, your host. I am from Community Christian Fellowship Baptist Church in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. Web address is prospectccf.com. We meet every Sunday at our service times are 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for church worship time. And we also have an evening service at 6:30, youth group at 6:30, and we have midweek Bible study. So we're always busy. And then tonight, again, I'll mention, is Team Kid, which is the first and the third Tuesdays of each month at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8, and that's a kids club, which is great. And also Pizza with Pastor is at 6:30. So obviously when I get off the air today, I'm going to have to boogie back to absolutely. But it's great to be here. We welcome you to call in at any time with any questions. The number, of course, here is 740-383-9944. Tonight with me, I've got a special guest and a dear friend of mine by the name of Clint Calvin. And Clint, in a minute here, I'm going to kind of let him tell his own story. And we'll kind of go from there, and we'll kind of interject as it's going along. But Clint, it's great to have you here tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Steve.
I would say in 2016, first part of 2016, everything was going pretty normal for you.
Absolutely.
Give us some background of that.
Well, I was working for a company by the name of Luvada. I was in pretty much in charge of their weld wire division, where we would drum pack and put weld wire into these 500-pound drums for the automotive industry to braze cars together. And we also did 33-pound spools of the same type wire. I got to do a lot of traveling for the company. Been to China, been all over the U.S. It was a really phenomenal job.
It sounds like it. And your family?
I have my wife Jennifer and our three children, Caitlin, Mackenzie, and Victoria.
Okay, so you've got a pretty good sized family there too.
Yes, I do.
You know, three girls and you're the only guy. Oh boy, you could be in trouble once in a while, couldn't you?
More often than not.
Hey,
it seems like you got outvoted a lot on a lot of things.
Yeah, well, your dog's a boy, though, right?
Yes.
All right.
My new dog, Nico, he is a boy.
He is a boy. That's fantastic. So, anyway, everything's going pretty well. Income's decent, fairly decent.
Yes.
And family's basically, you didn't have a lot of needs that weren't being met, right?
None.
Okay, so something happened one day. Can you tell us about that?
Well, in May of 2017, I was involved in a bicycle accident at my house. I have a very large concrete patio on the back of our home, and I went over the handlebars of my bicycle, and my face hit the concrete before my hands. I had what was called a L4-3 fracture, which where every bone in my face was crushed. And I also had a cranial fracture. I destroyed the motor nerves in my left eye, and I was life flighted from the Marion General Hospital to Grant, where I spent almost a month and a half, and then another 2.5 weeks in rehab.
Now, you talked about a lot of kind of technical terms on what these things were. In lay terms, what basically happened?
Every bone in my face was broken, every single one. My forehead, my cheekbones, my jaws, my chin, my face was shattered.
Your face was shattered.
Yeah.
So they bionically put you back together.
Yes, the majority of my face is made from plastics and titanium. While I was in the hospital, I got an infection in my brain. They had to open my head back up and go in through my brain sac and do a washout and wash all this basically pus out of my skull. Something I should not have lived through.
But you did.
But I did.
And basically, they took some images of your head and started making parts.
Yes.
Now, I know you can't see Clint out there, but I have to tell you that I knew Clint prior to this accident. He would come to our, once a month we have a men's breakfast at the church, and it's 8 o'clock on the last Friday of the month. But anyway, Clint would come to that, and after the accident I didn't see him for quite a while, and when I saw Clint the first time, I think it's remarkable that they put you back together looking like Clint.
Yes.
And, you know, really did. I mean, did a marvelous job. Now, can you kind of explain some of the workings of what they've done with your...
My eye sockets are... Both my eye sockets are titanium. My sinuses had to be completely rebuilt. A lot of that material came from my thigh. My cheekbones are titanium, my jaws are titanium cable. I have a series of struts in my mouth that let my mouth go up and down the way it should because my jaw muscles were so impregnated with shattered bone that they weren't sure that they would ever grow back properly. The initial accident, I had a traumatic brain injury. From the infection, I had a second.
Mm-hmm.
Just any time I had human hands touching my brain, it causes damage.
Well, it's real interesting. When you first were coming around again, and there's a lot of things that were still going on that you're still having some trouble with, mm-hmm. some motor skills and some thought processes.
Yeah.
And I remember that you had one eye that was kind of back, and one day it just popped out where
yeah.
it was supposed to be.
Yeah, the motor nerve on my left eyelid was crushed. They told me that would just be a matter of time before that nerve would regenerate and my eyelid would start working again. The problem was that my eye was shut for so long that my brain had just turned my left eye off. It said, "You're not working, so I'm going to shove all the signal to the right eye, make it as strong as we can." So after my motor nerve repaired itself, my eyelid started opening up, but my eye was pointing up and to the left. It would give me terrible double vision and terrible headaches, so I spent most of the time trying to keep it shut. Went to several eye doctors, eye surgeons, I mean, just about everybody in Columbus we paid a visit to at one point or another, all to hear that there was nothing that they could do about it. My wife and I and everybody I know prayed for me. People I don't even know that send me messages on Facebook that tell me they're praying for me. One night last January, this is January 2018, I prayed. I went to bed, and when I woke up, my eye was straight. Just like that. Just
right back where it was supposed to be.
Right back where it was supposed to be. No therapy, no training, no glasses, just right back where it should be.
Now, for those of you that are out there tonight, Terry's sitting here, Terry Taggett and I, we can see that Clint currently does not have a, what exactly is missing? Can we, in your forehead?
This past summer, I contracted an infection in my forehead again. It was from dead bone that never grew back together, so it started to rot the skin where the infection was, and it created a quarter-size hole in my forehead. When I went back in to get that fixed, the titanium plate that was my forehead had become contaminated, and so had what skull material that had grown back together. So I had to go back in for another surgery where they opened the top of my head from ear to ear And then from my, just above my eyebrows, about a quarter of the way up my skull, they cut everything out and then sewed me back up. So right now there's only that skin between my brain and the outside world. The infection had also caused an abscess on my brain sac that they had to fix while they were in there.
So the goal is, they're complete. They want the everything to completely heal.
Yes.
All the sutures and all the where they cut.
Yes.
And then they're going to start, explain that, what they're going to do.
They're
going to
put a series of balloons on my scalp and each week slowly fill them with saline to stretch the skin out on my scalp. So that when they are going to have a 3D printed forehead made for me that will grow into the bone that is still there. And then it has these microscopic little, I guess you could call them hooks in it, that they will be able to stretch the skin over. They don't want to do a graft, though, on that big of area because it would be it'd be very rough and it would be infection. They want to use skin that's already from that area.
So that's why they're going to stretch it back out.
That's why they're going to stretch it back out.
A year and a half from now when we see you, you're going to look like Clint again with normal forehead. And not that you don't look like Clint now when you've got a hat on. I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
Without the hat. Obviously, there's no forehead there.
None, no.
But it is a bit of a danger.
Yes.
I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing. One of the things that just amazes everyone when this is brought up or talked about or people that know Clint, no one could ever believe that going at a slow speed over the handlebars of your bicycle could do this to someone. And Clint, you were pretty close to death several times, weren't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What? How long of a recovery period do they think you're going to need before they can do this this balloon thing with you? I mean, did they give you a timetable?
I go back in to see my plastic surgeon this coming Tuesday.
Okay.
And at that point, what he sees is when he'll make the determination to place the balloons.
Because, my God, you've came along. You look great right now.
Well, thank you.
Compared to where, you know, sounds like where you were. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, if they install the balloons too soon before the scars and everything have a proper time to heal, there's a issue that they could open them back up.
Okay.
So it's just been remarkable. Yeah. You know, remarkable what they've done. I can tell you as a friend of Clint's that it has been remarkable to see his spirit. I know well enough that we talk a lot. We're both Christian brothers in the Lord. We both know Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And depend on Him daily along with our families. And I know Clint's been through some times of anger.
Yes.
That he still struggles with.
Yes.
I mean, it would make anyone, you know, like we had said at the beginning, you know, a couple of years ago, this is a upper middle class guy living a dream. And it goes to show you in a short time what can happen to someone.
Well, I was going to say, just from hearing the story, it sounds like, I mean, you couldn't ask for more. He's traveling, he's doing well at his job, you know, and then all of a sudden, one little thing.
Yeah.
So, you can't work.
No.
Can't work. That's difficult in itself, and you know, as being, you know, it's hard for those of us that desire to be the breadwinner at home, not to be able to do that. And on top of this, this is what really, you know, Clint's wife's a physical therapist. And explain what happened there.
Well, after our third child was born, she has always had a bad back. And when she was quite young, in her teens, she had a spinal fusion done. And after her third pregnancy, she slipped another disc right above where that was. So she had to go back in for another fusion. She was off work for quite a while with that. Once she was back to work, everything was going good. She was at work. She was showing a patient how to do a particular exercise. And she came down wrong on her ankle and broke her ankle and tore the tendon right there. It recoiled up into her leg, and
Achilles tendon.
No, the one on the side of the leg, okay. Not on the back. And so it was a very long time before we could actually get that fixed due to certain workman comp situations. And she couldn't work like that. She was in a cast. She was out of a cast. It was a really rough time for her. And we had come to the conclusion together that it was time for her to just stay home and be with the kids and just really get well.
So, Clint, kind of overwhelming just to hear the story and what's going on. But I'd like you to talk a little bit and tell us some of the prayer that was answered, some of the things that God has brought you through. And I know you've shared some of these things with me. And you don't have to go into real detail. But just about the graciousness and the love of God.
That has been pretty amazing. There was a point while I was in the hospital, not really knowing where I was or what was going on. Most of that time is kind of a blank, but there became a time where I was slipping away, and I could feel myself slipping away. And as I laid there, just suddenly I had this incredible feeling come over me, something that I'd never felt in all my life, and it was pure joy, euphoria. It was magnificent. And it was a few days later that I woke up, and that magnificent, joyful feeling was the hand of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, upon me. He had brought me back from the brink.
That amazing.
He still has work for me here, and I will do it.
Do you think that sometimes, you know, people I sometimes listen to something like this, and I'll say, wait a minute, you're talking about God being so great, yet if he was really great, this wouldn't have happened to begin with. You know, that's the kind of thing you can hear, right?
It is.
But what's your attitude about that?
Well, we live in a fractured creation where right now God isn't on earth. Jesus isn't on earth. They are in heaven. And while they are in heaven and we are down here with their adversary, Satan, bad things happen all the time. That's not God's will for bad things to happen all the time. But living in a fallen world, they're going to.
But he's there when they do.
But he's there when they do. He is there to fix situations. But you have to pray. It is through prayer. He wants to know what's going on, what's on your heart. Because what you pray for is, you know, he can do it without your prayer, but he wants it. He wants that relationship.
Did you ever tell God you're angry with him?
Several times over the years.
Over this situation, just really...
I think I was angry with myself more than I was angry with God. I was far enough along in my walk with Christ that I knew that this wasn't of his doing.
But he was going to be there to bring us
through. But he was going to be there to bring us through us, and my, has he.
Would you say that spiritually, emotionally, you're a better person today than prior to the accident?
Yes, I know I am. I know I am.
I know that many times I hear people talk about major events in their life like this that draw them closer to God, and they thank God for it eventually.
Yes.
The hard thing, I know for you being a man, and I know the man that you are, the hard thing is your family going through it with you.
Yes.
And the difficulty of having three young, if you don't mind me saying so, beautiful daughters.
Well, thank you very much.
And good girls. And you know, the fact that they can't have all the things that you'd like to give them all the time.
Yes.
You can't, they've had to watch you go through this. And then aside from that, you have a wonderful wife who you have a great relationship with.
Yes.
And she's there right beside you.
Yes.
And that's difficult too, because you have to watch your wife watch you go through this, and which means she's going through a lot herself at the same time.
Yes.
So it's not just Clint going through this. This is a family dynamic that's happening through all this difficulty.
We suffer one another well.
You suffer one another well. How are you as a family with your faith? As a family as a whole, would you say? As far as practicing your faith, reading God's Word, those type of things?
We're quite involved. We're quite involved. We attend in church in Delaware, the Church of Christ Christian Union, over on Bell Avenue. My wife sings on the praise and worship team there. She has a beautiful voice.
I hear you do, too.
From time to time.
I don't know if beautiful is the right word, but you have a good voice.
I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
There you go.
We were both very active in children's ministry. Unfortunately, this past surgery has kind of slowed that down. We still do Sunday school, but we haven't been able to teach children's church as much as we would like to. There are just certain days and certain things that have become kind of difficult for me to get through.
Sure.
I have developed a lot of, I guess what you could call, anxiety problems at times.
Sure. Things that you used to do that you can't do and you like to do. You know, with men sometimes too, we still have that testosterone, and we still have that I'm going to go out and kill the man with the dragon home type of a, you know, that's kind of deeply within us.
Yes, it is.
And when that's stopped and cut away and you can't do that, it can bring on a lot of anxiety.
It can.
It does in a lot of men.
It can.
But you know, the interesting thing that I see with you is, it's not real interesting, it's joyful, it's precious to me to see it, is that how God has supplied your needs and God brings you through.
Yes.
Are there any particular stories, and I don't know any, so I'm just tossing this out there. Are there any particular stories that you're willing to share, and if not, that's fine, of a time when it was obviously miraculous how God provided a need that was there during this time, like even if it's a financial need?
There were times last winter around Christmas and even after Christmas that things were getting really thin. I mean, my wife and I, we would both be upset about our current financial situation. I mean, there were obligations that we had that we knew we were not going to be able to meet. But instead of getting upset, instead of getting angry, we gave it to God. And there wasn't a single situation that arose in this past year that he has not met.
Not amazing.
It's not, though, is it?
Is that faith?
That's faith.
And he promises to take care of us. You know, God promises so much that he will take care of us. He says he'll take care of a sparrow. How much more will he take care of us?
Yeah.
And I think that part of the problem we have as people is that we don't grasp hold of that. And live by it and believe it. And you've kind of been put in a situation where either you grasped hold of that or you were going to sink.
Yes.
And by grasping hold of it, God has revealed so many neat things to you.
Yes, he has.
And friends and family. You know, the one thing I'd like to mention, Terry, this is an interesting situation. You know, Clint goes to church in Delaware, and I met him through a mutual friend and started coming to men's breakfast and all these kind of things. Clint has become, it's kind of weird, he doesn't go to our church, it's not his home church, he does come on Sunday evenings,
mm-hmm.
But everybody kind of feels like he's a member there too, because Everyone knows you. Yeah. You're all interactive. He spoke at the church when I was gone a couple weeks ago on that whirlwind trip to Florida. And it's kind of neat because we're at two different churches in two different towns, but yet we're close enough that it's like he's everyone. And that's the way it should be. And as Christians, you know, we have that bond. It's not, well, I belong to this church. And quite frankly, our denominations are different denominations.
Yeah.
But it's not that, you know, there's not a competition amongst true Christians.
No, we belong to the body of Christ,
right,
which is the church here on earth. And I find it just absolutely refreshing that, you know, I can go to Steve's church or he can come to mine, and regardless of denomination, we're brothers in Christ. And we can do stuff together. We can praise God with one another. It's
a mutual friend, Dave Mason. Yeah. A matter of fact, that's how
great
we
man.
First introduced.
Great man.
Dave has never written a thing in his life, and he travels a lot. He works for the railroad, and a company that subs through the railroad. I
yes.
believe how that works.
Yep.
But he wrote a book, a small book. And it's on his experiences in different churches around as he travels. And he talked about why people don't go to church and why people don't stay in a church. And he had given me a copy of it. And now that book is put in our visitors' packets.
Yes.
For people to have when they come to the church. Now, interestingly enough, you know, Dave goes to the same church he does. And we're not in the same denomination, yet he gave us books to put in our visitor's packet or our church. So see, that's how the body of Christ works. We help each other when we can. I will say this about Clint and also about Jennifer. They are willing to do anything they can to help anybody at any time. And what is really cool about that is, in most cases, they're the ones that probably need the help. But they are more than willing. If I call this guy and I say, hey, I need this, he's there. If I and Jennifer would be the same way.
Yes.
And they're more than willing to do any work that they can to make sure their needs are met. They are not sitting back wanting someone to take care of them. They're doing everything in their power to do it's that personal responsibility.
Yes.
And you know, does God call us to be that way?
Yes, He does.
He certainly does, doesn't He?
Yes.
We're supposed to do everything within our power and with what He's given us to make things happen.
Absolutely.
And still have that, you know, to come through what you've come through and still have the giving spirit you do is a testament to your faith in the Lord. And your relationship with God.
Amen.
And I just think it's amazing. I brought Clint on tonight. It's kind of interesting how he ended up being here. But he's here. And that wasn't the initial plan. I called him kind of last minute. But I've been wanting to get him on. And I find it kind of interesting tonight that God chose for that to happen. Tonight's election night. People are driving to the polls.
Yes.
And bickering, all the disagreement, all the things that can happen on election night, all the finger pointing, all the anger, people, and you look at a situation like this, and it pulls you back to reality. You know, it pulls you back to say, you know what? Every day we're given is so precious. It is so precious.
Absolutely.
And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on a cross, to shed his blood to cover our sin.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we may have a relationship with his Father. And that means so much more to grasp that and to walk with it than all this other stuff that doesn't mean hell beans.
Correct.
And it's so much of a waste of time.
Yes.
And I was sharing this at church yesterday that, wow, didn't it make more sense to love people? I mean, even if someone, you know, the comment was made, matter of fact, I think you might have made the comment Sunday night, you said, you know, we're commanded to love people, it doesn't mean we necessarily have to like them.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you can bring yourself to like them, it makes it a lot easier.
It certainly can.
It can. And there are some people that are hard to like. I mean, they just really are. But you got to still hope the best for them and wish the best for them. And, you know, and that comes, a lot of that love and that spirit comes out of our walk with Christ. Because understand something. While we were still filthy sinners, he died for us. He didn't say, come and clean up and I'll be acceptable. Or you'll be acceptable to me. He said, I'm going to take you right where you're at. And a lot like the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, you know. He was covered in hog manure and a mess. And think about that for a minute. You know, that this was a story of Jewish people that are Hebrew people. And they were not, I mean, to them, swine were as bad as it got.
Yes.
And for a guy to end up working with swine and then coming back to his father, but his father rushed to meet him and mm-hmm. embraced him.
Put a robe around him, gave him a ring.
Put a robe around him, gave him a ring, and said, go kill the fatted calf. We're having a party.
Yep. My son has returned.
My son has returned, and he was dead, and now he's back. And by dead, he meant he was certainly dead to him.
Yeah.
And dead to, I mean, he was with swine. I mean, but, you know, the thing is that if Christ can love that much, if that Father can love that much, then I think as people we can learn to love each other more. And we can embrace someone. But in that story, there's a point of repentance.
Yes.
From the Son. And even with Christ, he's offered us this free gift. Wonderful free gift. But it even comes with repentance on our end.
Yes.
We have to admit that we're sinners and that we needed his shed blood to cover that. You know, we can't walk in and say, well, you know what? I'm going to live however I want. I don't care about that stuff. But by the way, remember me when I pass away and take me to heaven. You know, we have to just say, you know what? I admit that I'm a sinner. I was telling a guy the other day, a friend of mine, was talking about people struggling to forget his past. And he has a past. It's somewhat of a present past. But he said how hard it is. And I said, you know, he said, I don't feel that here with you, and I don't feel that here at the church. I said, here's the thing. I said, we all have a past. And everyone is 1 foot away from the gutter.
Absolutely.
Everybody. I don't care how good you're living or what you're doing, one decision to walk away, and you're right back in that mess. And so why would I elevate myself above anyone else as being any way, shape, or form better than them? Right? You know, what did Jesus say? He was out without sin, cast the first stone when they were going to stone the woman caught in adultery.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we all have sin. You know, I tell people that, you know, I'm nothing special. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
By God's grace. And because I can live comfortably in that and in his hand, I have great confidence in what he's going to do with my life.
Absolutely.
And as long as I walk in that,
yeah,
I know that it's going to happen, and it's happening as I walk.
Yes.
So my question is, why would I want to be anywhere else? That's why I don't step into the gutter.
Correct.
Because the closer you walk with the Lord, the more you realize how blessed that is.
And that doesn't happen overnight.
No.
I mean, once you decide to give your life to Christ, there's a saying that the old man dies hard, and that's our sinful nature. And it does die very hard because many of us have spent years of our lives living in sin. Even though we may not have been heinous, hateful people, our behaviors, our habits were not of God.
They were
of ourselves. They were of the flesh. And as we come closer to God, as we read his word, as we follow it, the most miraculous things begin to happen. it just...
He reshuffles the computer.
Yeah, it's indescribable the things that have changed in my life. And some people would say, well, gee, for the worst, huh? You know, you've got a head made of metal. You don't have that great job anymore. You know, I get to spend every day with my beautiful wife.
How many guys can say that, right?
Yeah. You know, I get to look after the house. I get to be more involved with my kids. I get to be more involved with the two churches that I frequent. I mean, there is just so many wonderful things that God is using me for right now that working, I would have never had that opportunity. And I don't know if even while working, if I had that opportunity, I would have taken God up on it. So this has definitely not only been a change of life, but it's been a true change of heart.
Do you think that sometimes God changes the position we're in just for that reason?
I honestly believe that. I believe that without this accident, I would not be as far along in my walk with God that I am.
Is your marriage stronger?
Yes, it is. We've been, I mean, even though we were, you know, very financially secure and, you know, great jobs and nice things, we didn't see a whole lot of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, spending over a week in China, going down to Alabama. It can be very difficult. And it's very hard on the children. Very hard. And it just, I don't know. It's hard to describe the heart change portion of it because it feels like something that happens rapidly. But it doesn't.
And things aren't all better, are they? They're not all perfect.
No, nothing's perfect.
And they never will be.
No.
They will be one day.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
When we're in heaven.
Yes. But, you know, my wife and I, we can still have our little tete-a-tetes and the kids can still back talk. And, you know, I mean, it's not all peaches and cream, but at the same time, I've got a Father in heaven who loves me and he doth provide.
One of my favorite choruses is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And how true is that in your situation?
Yeah, that is very true.
Very, very true.
There was a time last summer when I had just gotten home from the hospital, and I didn't know what we were going to live on. I didn't know, you know, luckily I had a great job. I had a benefits company that has taken care of, you know, getting me at least a portion of my pay, but so many people, like I say again, folks I didn't even know, would just send us a letter and a check, or send us a letter and a Kroger card, or just, I mean, I had no idea what we were going to do for anything, but all this just starts pouring in, and I mean, from folks folks that I'd never even met. People sending me friend requests on Facebook that I don't know, but they know somebody that I do know. They heard my story and they're just like, well, hey, let's help this guy out.
You know,
just amazing.
And you credit that to God, don't you?
Absolutely.
And you know, when I think of this, I look at your situation, I've seen people that have had far less things happen. They're sitting there rotting in a chair at home, literally, and bitter and nasty. And the sad thing is that Jesus is there with his hands out, and he just says, turn to me. You know, come unto me, all you, what?
Who are weary and weak, and I will give you rest.
And that's what it's all about. That's what's important. You know, we are... I imagine everyone sitting here has voted today. I'm not going to ask you how. That's between you and yourself. Maybe your spouse, too, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, there's a lot of, I hope that tomorrow people love each other, regardless of what comes out.
Oh, amen.
And the love's there. And, you know, as a country, we need to work together. I'm going to continue believing and preaching what I preach. And that's not going to change. But I don't know what the election results are going to be. But I want everyone to remember something, that God gave us a beautiful country. And he gave us a country that we have freedom to worship. What a rarity in this world today.
Yes.
Freedom to worship, freedom to gather, freedom to speech. All the freedoms that we have been given. And I would encourage people to keep that in mind. Don't let those freedoms go away. And remember that everything that we have is a free gift from God.
Amen.
And that we need to thank him, and we need to recognize him, and recognize the wonderful country that we live in. Hey, I'm going to get off here in a minute, and I certainly, Clint, thank you so much for coming tonight. Maybe we'll do this again sometime after down the road, and it's just been great hearing your testimony tonight. But we got Church Sunday. 9:30 and 10:30, 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Hey, look, if you're looking for a church that's Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and strives to be Bible-obedient, please come to Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Again, our number is 740-494-2222. Call, leave me a message. Ask for Pastor Steve. I promise you I will call you back. And if you're looking for encouragement, please give me a call.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For 107-year-old viral video sensation.